very important.
What do we call it? A prepared environment, I think. We have our nice little candles at the front this evening. My wife and I were out shopping today for things. We went in to buy the candles and bought an ironing board instead. Don't know if you've ever had that happen to you. Then we went back into another shop and managed to find some candles. Next week we're going to have a table that the candles will be on. And then this week gradually we'll prepare the environment for a spiritual atmosphere. We've just been watching a film which I haven't seen for many, many years. In that film, a huge amount of information has been transmitted, conveyed to us about very, very special places, people, and phenomenon. We search for, we seek the unusual or the special, something different to have an impact on our lives. The things that we're accustomed to bring us a certain amount of information and pleasure and interaction, but we're searching for something more. Otherwise, why do we do anything? We're searching for something, and pleasure, happiness, excitement, bliss. So the personality that we are celebrating, the appearance day or birthday, thank you very much, Linda. Buzz. Is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya, it is explained, is, as it is explained already in the film, is the combination of Radha and Krishna. The personality of Godhead is very simple for us to understand, at the same time very sublime, esoteric, multifarious, beyond our comprehension practically, the vastness, the greatness, the power, the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the same time, he is understandable to a certain extent, and the key for opening this mystery is called the parampara, which means the system of disciplic succession. If we try to speculate on the Supreme, we'll end up with unlimited different ideas or concepts. But if we are able to hear from the Supreme himself, then we will get a very clear idea. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's one sloka or text that explains Vedanti Tattvavidas Tattvam Yaj Gyanam Advayam. Gyanam is knowledge, and this verse explains that this knowledge about God is understood in three major categories of features. They are described as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Those terms might be familiar to you, or they may not be. Basically translated. And that is the whole business of this process of Bhakti Yoga. We are translating the esoteric teachings of the Supreme from the East. Pretty much, if you look at religions of the world, they come from the East. They have their origin there. So we're translating this, bringing it into the lives of the people all over the world, be it Africa, America, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand, or wherever we may be. Because we are not New Zealanders. We are not
Canadian.
We are not Indian. No. These are designations of this world that we place upon ourselves. But they are not our real self. So this knowledge, this information about God goes far beyond the designation that we may place in ourselves. Our spiritual teacher, our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, that we see over here, he once was sitting with a group of theologians who had been brought, professors, university academics, they'd been brought to meet Prabhupada. So, Srila Prabhupada asked them that. And it's a fabulous video. If you ever get this access to this, you should watch it. It's absolutely wonderful. So, Srila Prabhupada asked them, who is God? And the silence that you hear now is the same silence. And they're all sitting. And Srila Prabhupada again asks, I am asking, who is God? And no answer was coming. And then Srila Prabhupada explained, so, you are not theologians. These are big professors. Prabhupada says, you are not theologians. So we're all gulping, like, maybe they'll feel insulted by this. But Srila Prabhupada, you're not theologians. Theologian means one who knows God. So you are theosophist. So they were. Someone said, well, we are trying to find God, to know God, to understand God. So you don't know God then. You're trying to search. So you're a theosophist. Then Srila Prabhupada said, so you don't know God, and I am presenting, here is God, Krishna. Why don't you accept? You don't know God. I am presenting, here is God, Krishna. Why don't you accept? Again, a long silence. And one of the professors presented, well, Swamiji, it's because your Krishna comes from a different cultural background. We are coming from a Judaic Christian background, so to accept Krishna is difficult. Srila Prabhupada did not accept this as a powerful argument. He said to them, simply, therefore, you are not serious. Just because God doesn't fit into your conditioned concept of, oh, he should come in this tradition, or he should be a bit like, more acceptable for this social milieu, then we can't accept. So Krishna is not a Hindu God. Krishna is not an Indian God. This science of self-realization is not for a certain group of people. But this science of self-realization and spiritual life is applicable to all living beings, whether they are black or white, pink or yellow, brown, black, man or woman, old or young, this country or that country. We are talking about the absolute truth. So this absolute truth, the Bhagavatam states, is known as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So, Brahman means the all-pervasive aspect of the Supreme. He is in everything. He is everywhere, in every atom of the creation. It takes some endeavor to appreciate. St. Francis of Assisi, we see, was a person who had that concept that God is everywhere, in everything. He saw the beauty of God in the flower, in the animals, in the water, in the air, and was able to appreciate in that way. So there are many saints who appreciate God being everywhere. So this is the one aspect of God. He is in every atom of the creation. That is called Brahman. The second realization is that although God is in every atom of the creation, he is specifically manifest in a feature called Paramatma. The Paramatma feature is the God that lies within the heart of every living being in their sojourn or journey through their existence in this world. That feature is the feature that we call to. Oh God. When we see, we take, they say in the Christian theology that we take God's name in vain. So the tendency is, oh God, oh God. But really, when we're in difficulty, we call out to God. Yes? Everyone basically does. So we call, or we pray to, oh God, please help. So who are we speaking to? That feature is described in the Bhagavatam as being within the heart of every living being as the directing, sanctioning aspect of God's creation. Man proposes, God disposes. We have desires and God facilitates and makes all the arrangement for us to try to satisfy those desires. So, God is everywhere in every atom of the creation. He is specifically with every living being waiting. And it's also explained, waiting for us to turn to Him. Just now, we have turned away from God and we are looking to the world for pleasure. And God is like the most dear friend, and He's waiting and waiting and being with us. Keep going, keep trying, do as you have to do. Oh, you're going to get hurt there, but oh, okay, you do it if you have to do it. He's waiting till we finally have had it up to there. And we finally think, help! I need help. And people say that. That's why you became a devotee of God, of Krishna, because you were in trouble. Your life was going through a crisis. It must have been something happening in your life, so you took shelter of God. Let's be honest. Everyone is in crisis. We kid ourselves to think that we're not in crisis. Everyone is in crisis. And it is only the most intelligent people who see the reality of this world. It is a holocaust. And it unfolds. We get a bit of peace for a few minutes or days or maybe a week or two where life is, wow, it's just a dream. How often does that happen? Whatever we want, God will give. So if we are wanting to become freed from our difficult situation, God is ready. But the problem is, we pray to God, oh God, God help me. And God says, are you sure? I've been here for a long time waiting on this. Yeah, yeah, I really want help. Oh, okay. And He helps us out, and then it's, see you later, God. I'm off again. Yeah. We're in the airplane's going to crash. We're in the airplane, it's going through all the turbulence, is going down. It's God, help. Promise we'll come to church, promise. and it's going down, and then there's a miracle, the pilot pulls it out, and it all goes up. And what's the first thing people say? Free drinks! Free drinks! Break out the drinks for everyone. And we forget all about God. We're not serious. We're really not. Just like Prabhupada was saying to those theologians, you're not serious. Because God comes from a different social setting than you think He should, you're ready to reject and still not know who is or what is God. God is the Supreme Personality. He is in everything. He is with us within the heart. But although He expands in all of His creation, Bhumirapo Nalovayu Kamano Bhutirevacha, Krishna says, I am the earth, I am the water, I am the air, I am the ether, I am all of the elements in this world. I am. That is my energy. I manifest this energy. But although I do that, and although I go into the heart of every living being, I am complete. I can do that and still remain Bhagavan, the supreme, all-attractive personality of Godhead. It's not like if you've got a cake and you cut it and you give everyone a piece, you no longer have the cake. Yes? That isn't material. Spiritually, the Lord can expand Himself unlimitedly and still be absolutely complete and perfect. And that is the ultimate feature of God. In the modern age, this is very unpopular. But in the postmodern, what comes after modern? Neo-modern or whatever? I went to university, but I could never get that the neo-modern was the... And the postmodern is... Oh, anyway, you get what I mean. What I'm trying to say in a convoluted way is that the personal form of God is coming back into vogue. You know, like flared jeans? My wife and I were talking. She goes, that girl's got flares. I knew they'd come back. So things go in and out of fashion. So it was very unfashionable to think that God is a person. We like, oh, God is an energy. God is love. God is something abstract. God is whatever you want Him to be, and so on and so forth. What a load of bunk. God is scientifically described in the great scriptures of the world that He is in everything, accompanying us all, and He remains the supreme, all-attractive personality of Godhead. So this is our relationship that we are looking for, is with that personality of Godhead. We are all persons. God is not less than us. We should not, what's the word? Denigrate or... Diminish. Yes, thank you. Who said that? Well done. Behind every small man is a great woman. we should not diminish thinking that... People say that. Oh, God can't be a person. I mean, God's got to be what? Oh, He's got to be not a person. We are persons. We are people. So God is certainly a people, but He is very powerful. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation of Krishna. Krishna came 5,000 years ago and displayed unlimited, beautiful, all-attractive pastimes to attract all of us to Him so that we could reconnect to our devotional mood of love with God. But it is described that He demanded that we surrender to Him. Sarva dharmam parityagya mami kam saranam raja. Abandon all duties and surrender to Me. So God wanted that we surrender to Him. When Lord Chaitanya appears, He doesn't demand surrender. First of all, He gives love of God in the form of God's holy names. These spiritual sound vibrations are non-different from the original personality of Godhead. So, we are simply gifted with the holy name of God, and we are invited to chant these spiritual sound vibrations. And the amazing thing is that you will become godly. Not God. By chanting these names, you won't become God, but you'll become godly. You will take on the qualities of God and His name. So that is the powerful Maha Mantra, the great mantra. And it has been predicted that this chanting of the sound vibration of God's name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's kind of catchy. We've been chanting Hare Krishna all day today since 4 o'clock in the morning. And then we went somewhere else and we chanted Hare Krishna and came here, we're chanting Hare Krishna. We talk about Krishna and if it was Kellogg's Cornflakes we were talking about, I'd tell you, you wouldn't get past breakfast time. Isn't it? Or if it was Coca-Cola, it's the real thing. But you couldn't talk about it and drink it all day. Although there was one lady who tried it. Was it? How much did she drink? 22 cans in a day or something. You can hardly imagine what must have happened to the lady drinking 22 cans of Coca-Cola. My wife keeps it in her classroom, Coca-Cola, as a blackboard cleaner. It's the truth, absolutely true. One of the kids came in and said, "Oh, Coca-Cola, Mataji, Coca-Cola." And she wanted to drink it. But my wife keeps it, and we take it, and if you use it to clean the blackboard, it cleans it real good. It cleans all the stuff off. And you can try the penny or the copper coin. If you can find an old copper coin, put it in a glass of Coca-Cola overnight, and it's bright and shiny. You can hardly imagine what it does to your inside. So this is material things. We're talking of these material things. But a spiritual, we don't find after 26 times chanting Hare Krishna that you're going to die of obesity or liver failure or whatever else collapses. So this has to be introduced very nicely so that people of the Western culture don't get stuck in their conditioning. Oh, I don't think I can do that. That sounds Indian. I couldn't do that. The All Blacks, I'll chant the All Blacks. All Blacks, All Blacks, All Blacks, All Blacks, the World Cup, the World Cup. Or, what are they called, the ladies? What do they have, the ferns? Silver ferns or something. There's a limit to how much you would want to get absorbed in that, yeah? So it's called breaking out of the box, breaking through our conditioning to see that this knowledge, and I was speaking to a young chap today, and there's nothing else out there. There's nothing. We challenge, please, what is it that is better than spiritual life? Pure food, pure sound vibrations, pure association, pure scriptures. It's all good. Yeah, I've mentioned that many times in the world today. Everyone says, oh yeah, it's all good. What a load of rubbish. It's all bad out there. It is. We're saying it's all good, but people are stressed to the max. They're suffering in so many ways. The world's in absolute chaos. There's wars every night, you see. Isn't it? And America will rush in to help again. Oh, please no. But it's all good. It's not all good, it's all bad. I hate to say it, well, I don't mind actually saying it. I'm telling a lie. It's all bad. When we look at this bhakti yoga process, it's all good. It's good for ourselves, it's good for our health, it's good for our well-being, it's good for our spiritual development, our eternal existence. It's good for your neighbors, it's good for your friends, it's good for the environment. Tell me something it's bad for. You can't. One lady at a seminar that I attended a few months back, she explained to me, the more we try to learn in the material world, the less we know. And she explained that she's a PhD graduate, she's got a PhD. And she said, amazing thing, you start off with a bachelor's degree and you try and learn something. So you get it, you get your degree and you kind of learn something. But what also you learn is so much that you don't know. So you have to do your master's degree to go further, to know more. And then you realize that you've learned something, but there's so much more about that subject you need to know, so you have to do your PhD. The amazing thing is, after you do your PhD, you realize you've learned something, but there's so much more that you don't know. So you do more research and you write more papers and you eventually die. And you've learned so much, but you learn that there's so much more that you need to know. This is the nature of trying to understand this world, trying to understand anything from the material platform. It's endless. It is created in that way. Krishna says, Atasvi Krishna Namadi Nabhavid Griham Indriyam. I can never be understood by the blunt material mind, intelligence, and senses. Can never. I do not allow it. I've designed it that way. You will come 100 steps trying to find me and I will be 101 steps away. You will go another 1,000 steps and I'll be 1,001 steps away. You will. There's a system. God has made a system. And he says, Bhakti Mama Vajanati Yavanyas Chasmi Tattvata. I can be known. I reveal myself to those who have become my devotees, who have begun the process and have taken shelter, not of the material nature, but the spiritual nature. Just as I explained, there's the earth, the water, the fire, the air. God explains, this is my material energy. He then, in the next verse of the Bhagavad Gita, explains, there is another nature. That is the spiritual nature. And those who are intelligent take shelter, make their focus that spiritual energy, and they learn the spiritual science. And instead of focusing on the material science, the material life, and getting material happiness, think about that one for what? Material happiness, very fleeting and very limited. We shift our focus to the spiritual nature. And we find that it's called Brahma-sokyam, or spiritual happiness. We start to tap into spiritual happiness. And you get all the material happiness anyway. That comes as an add-on. You know, if you buy a package deal computer, they say, oh, I'll give you a few add-ons. You can have that. Free gift. People think, oh, if I go for the spiritual, I'll miss out on the material. What will you miss out on? Huh? What is the big deal of the material? Intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating and gambling. These are the things that captivate people in the world, pretty much. That's a very generalized statement, but it's reasonably accurate. Sex. It's captivating the whole world. If I get into spiritual, I can enjoy sex. Of course you can. Get married. Have nice children. You can enjoy sex. It's fine. It's absolutely wonderful. The other kind of sex is going to ruin your relationships, ruin your life, ruin your health. People are having sex all over the place and getting into all kinds of difficulties. Unwanted pregnancies and abortions and sexually transmitted diseases, etc., etc. What to speak of the emotional trauma in all these relationships which don't really satisfy the soul. And they don't even satisfy materially very much anyway, especially after some time. This is called knowledge, gyan. This is reflecting on life as it is, not how we'd like it to be, but how it is. Yeah? Eating. You take to spiritual life, will you not eat? Of course you will. You eat the most fabulous, beautiful, tasty, healthy food. Vegetarian food. But when we first hear about it, we think, oh, vegetarian, oh gosh, I'll miss out. Yes, you will miss out. Thank God you will miss out. You will miss out on... You don't have a clue about how much that meat costs. I'm not talking about dollars. I'm talking about a karmic charge. The price you will pay for the karmic reactions for killing unnecessarily some innocent creature. And it is, again, I mentioned the word holocaust. If we go to a slaughterhouse to see what is going on, you will be shocked to your core. It is unbelievable what is going on. But I like it. Oh, thank you very much. You like it, do you? Oh. So I'm afraid you have to suffer karmic reactions. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So God is saying, stop doing that. Why? Because it's going to hurt you. You're going to suffer so much. Please, please don't do that. Learn to eat those things that are set aside for you as healthy, nutritious, and good things to eat. Sex, have good sex. Learn how to do that. It is possible, but you need guidance. You need shelter. You need to be trained in how to readjust your life so that it starts to make sense. Healthy, happy in this life and after this life. Brahma-sokyam, continuing spiritual existence. Either you will go back to God directly if we can purify our life completely in this life, or we will take our next birth in a situation which is very favorable for spiritual progress. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that great incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, came to distribute this love of God, not in India, but he said, my name will be glorified throughout the whole world and it will be chanted in every town and every village of the world. So that is the bhakti yoga process, is that we are seeing that there is so much suffering in the world. Isn't it? Japan, earthquake, Christchurch, earthquake, you really can relate to that just happening right now. What to speak of the other countries all over the world where there's so many wars and difficulties. It's everywhere. So we are not meant to just live our life here trying to adjust our circumstances a little bit as we get older and finally die, but we are meant to inquire into this knowledge and develop ourselves spiritually so that the world can become a wonderful place, so that it can become all good. Srila Prabhupada said that if we were able to we were given the facility of what's the stadium here? What's the big stadium? That's pretty good. Yeah. North Harbour. If we were given North Harbour and Eden Park, yeah? And then we could convince the local, the super city, what's his name? What's the man? What's his name? Len Brown? Yeah, Len Brown. If we could get through, if Len was sitting here tonight, so look, Len. Give us a go, Len. Len is Eden Park. Yeah? And give us whatever it takes to cook for maybe 100,000, maybe 50,000. I don't know how big the place is. It used to be, anyway. 50,000 people. And we'll cook vegetarian food, prasadam, special, purified. We'll offer it to Krishna. And then we'll have wonderful kirtan. We'll bring all kinds of nice kirtan. We'll have lights and stuff to make everyone happy. Yeah? And we'll give everyone, we'll make a festival. The people would go away very, very satisfied, very, very happy. And the whole world would transform. It actually would. So we want to transform the world. And we know that the only way to transform the world is to do it in small chunks. Because to transform the world, how do you do it? You have to transform at least one country. But to transform that country, you have to begin with maybe one city. And you cannot do the whole city. You can only maybe do the North Shore, and we can do Torbay, and we can't do the whole of Torbay. We can only do maybe the few people that have come tonight. And the only way we can change the world is by changing ourselves. Yeah? So that is our invitation. To take whatever step we can take. Yeah? We may not, it may not happen overnight that we can transform our whole life. But if we can take at least an attempt, one of our members here is very keen that we have people take on the commitment of being a vegetarian maybe for a month, or 3 months, or a week, or a day. Try it. Why not? Nothing to lose. You might find it makes a big shift. And the chanting of Hare Krishna. Take it on. You can do it maybe just for 5 minutes in the morning. See if it makes a difference. And the first time I remember when I chanted, I've mentioned, you know, it was Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You can hardly say it. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And people try and go Hare Ram, Ram, Hare Krishna. And they get all mixed up. We've got little cards. I've got one here, yeah. You can take a little card home, and it's there, Hare Krishna, and try it. The Beatles tried it. John Lennon and George Harrison.